Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we're back for a second bite of the cherry this week with our domestic podcast. If you're listening to this expecting to hear about all the rugby that's been going on the last few days, and in particular the internationals that happened at the weekend, that's already been done and it is in this feed. Listen to that episode. But don't go anywhere right now because we've got something pretty top for you now. We're going to talk about all domestic matters. I'm Tim, JB's there.
Hello, Timothy.
Philip is there.
Hello, Tim.
And also a very special treat. We've had a lot of people talking about it, asking about it. The song. We don't even need to introduce it. Just the song. The song. The rugby song.
The song of Christmas 2017.
Yeah. There was Stay Another Day, got to number one. There was... what other Christmas number ones have there been?
Mr. Blobby,
yeah. And
I might throw it on iTunes. I might put it on iTunes and give the proceeds to me. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. It's coming up at the end of the podcast. However, we're going to talk about all the goings-on domestically. There was a full complement of matches at the weekend just gone, which there was a few talking points raised. There's some games coming up this weekend, which we will preview as well. What was your big takeaway? What was your big highlight or thing that perked your attention the most over the weekend just gone domestically?
Two things for me. You're not going to be happy with one of them. One of the other is perfectly acceptable. Number one is Gloucester. I don't know how they're doing it, or you know how many sons and daughters have had to sacrifice for this to be possible, but they are doing it
at home
and away at the Rec.
Oh yes,
yeah. So they've only lost two, actually. You know. And yeah, one of them being an absolute hiding. That's the first one. And the second one would be Sale Sharks, which I know you don't
Standard.
Want to... Yeah. And I know you don't want to talk about Sale Sharks too much.
Sale Sharks, you've just got their second win of the season.
What?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Sale Sharks, you've only won two games this season, I meant to say. Sorry.
Yeah. And why this is important. But I'll get onto that later.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, let's start with Gloucester then, because that was the most notable scalp of the weekend. Downing the double European champions at King's Home, where they're unbeaten this season.
Yeah.
And have beaten last season's Premiership champions as well, Exeter. Yeah. So they're doing some good things at home. They also suffered a 50-point loss away at Sale.
Yeah.
One of Sale's other, their two wins. So home, very, very good. Away, questionable.
And I know it's so compacted in that table from ninth position Newcastle with 20 points up to Leicester with 26 points in third.
Yeah.
But Gloucester are on 22, so you have those five teams within 2 points of each other after eight rounds. So you don't know how much fifth position for Gloucester is realistic or punching above their weight slightly at this point. But there's development. You can see the development of Ackerman.
Yeah, it's so hot. I mean, they feel so fragile. You watch them play and they don't look like a team. They don't defend particularly well. I mean, to me, they defend in quite a soft manner. Their attack just seems a little bit too haphazard. The whole thing feels like it's kind of built on foundations of sand, which is an awful thing to say because they have played well. When they do their best work, it feels like it's because of that crowd. I think the crowd plays a huge, huge part of Gloucester's success. In that Saracens game, after I've just said that they don't defend particularly well, they actually did defend particularly well. They got to the half. I think there's like a 3-point difference or something. And then second half, they made a couple of breaks, and that's all it takes. And then the shed's behind them, and before you know it, they are running like they're 2 stone a man heavier. You know, like they're all seasoned internationals. It's a bizarre thing that goes on down there.
It's worth pointing out the number and quality of players Saracens are missing, so it's a good time to play them.
Whoa. How about doing it the other way? How about saying the number and quality that Saracens have available?
Oh, still?
I
absolutely.
Mean, Callum Clough.
Absolutely.
Schalkberger. Who was the other man in that mix? Callum Clough, Schalkberger.
Was it Jackson Ray?
No, it wasn't Jackson Ray. It was someone else who was undoubtedly class. George Cruis played in the back row, I think.
Did he play in the back row?
I think Ezekwe started next to...
Skelton.
Yeah, Cruis started at 6. There was Skelton, Ezekwe, Clarkberger, Brits were still in the team. Still had Lazowski at 10.
Trying to work on...
Cock.
Barrett Tompkins, Maitland Goode. Yeah, there's lots of good players, don't get me wrong.
Loads of good players.
I'm just saying, let's remember, it's a good time to play Saracens, and... Mark McCall was very unhappy at them not winning. So did Saracens lose that game or did Gloucester win that game? I think there's an argument to say Saracens just didn't capitalise on the chances they had and should have taken.
So they didn't score first off purely down to Gloucester's defensive sets. I thought Gloucester, they basically grimly hung on for the entire first half. Second half, particularly last 20, it was all Gloucester. It was all Gloucester. So, you know, with the standard of player that Saracens put out, first team or not, that team in its own right that Saracens put out could finish fourth. So, you know, Gloucester definitely won it.
Cool. Well, fair enough. It's not Gloucester's year this year still, but maybe next year.
It might be.
Maybe next year.
Just a couple of signings. Tell you what, Ben Bellacott made a huge difference. He is
rapid,
so
that
quick.
Yeah, the young scrum half. Yeah.
Rapid.
And see, I really like Willie Hines. I thought when Willie Hines came on for Laidlaw last year, they played a lot better.
Yeah, just in case it makes any difference, which it doesn't, to team selection, I'd like to say stick with Willie Hines. Stick with Willie Hines there, Johan.
Someone got him in fantasy.
Because he's in my fantasy rugby team, yeah.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a nice mix, though. Willie Hines is experienced. He's not slow himself. And then all of a sudden they inject Vellacott. The problems, sorry to bang on about Gloucester for too long. The problems I think Gloucester are going to find is how do they accommodate Billy Burns? Oh, here's something weird, right? Billy Burns, and then they've got Owen Williams to come back.
Yeah.
But Friday, it was a weird decision that they made because they put Billy 12 trees in at 10 as a tactical switch and brought Burns off.
And he guided them to victory.
Well, he did everything in his power not to. I mean, he played more like Billy 12 Trees than I've ever seen him play before. do you know what? He's on my top 5 people that I want to meet in rugby, Billy 12 Trees. I imagine he is the most incredible human and one of the nicest humans ever. Because how else is he? How else is he doing this? How else is he getting paid?
That's very harsh. He's got some very positive attributes.
He's having a good season. He is prone to a brain dead moment.
I think Atkinson and Trinder are awesome.
Simmons is great.
Simmons is a good player.
Talking about Gloucester Lots, good performance. Saracens will be disappointed. They'll want to bounce back. That puts Exeter 2 points clear at the top by virtue of a win. They were pushed very hard by Harlequins. Again, Harlequins showed up very well at Sandy Park.
Mm.
So yeah. We've got teams that we've described as flaky actually showing a bit more resolve than maybe we thought they had.
Yeah. Quinton showed up really well for a lot of this game. First half, they were excellent.
Yeah.
And for big periods of the second half, they stopped Exeter from playing and they controlled the game, but they couldn't quite find that last killer pass.
Yeah, Marcus Smith is a remarkable young man.
I might start getting the Brokeback Mountain music back out when you talk about Marcus Smith.
He's amazing. He's simply amazing.
Marcus Smith made some brilliant, brilliant breaks, but either he's not on the same wavelength as his teammates or they're not on the same wavelength as him. It's probably 6-1, half a dozen of the other, but he was making those breaks and there weren't the players with him to finish them on finish them off.
Yeah.
It should have been someone like Vissa or one of the Chisholm boys or anyone of those talented fast players should have been with him, but they weren't.
Harlequin should do something rather wise now, and they should. I mean, they've got Catch Kalis coming back. I don't know how good Catch Kalis is. I know he did all right in France, and he's quite highly rated from there. They've got Sweel coming back, but they need to stick with Marcus Smith, I'd say.
Oh yeah,
and I think his combination with Lang at 12 works really nicely.
Yeah, it did. It did work nicely. Would you be tempted to throw Marcus Smith in to the England game?
No.
Again, so playing against Samoa.
The answer, why? Does he deserve it?
Lazowski's deserves game time before Smith.
I don't think, well, yeah.
He missed a few kicks on Friday, though.
Let's not talk about a Friday game. Yeah.
Because he also was playing in an international game last weekend and injected a fair bit of impetus.
Very true.
Yeah, I do agree with Lazowski needs to be played more. I wonder if Lazowski needs to be played at 12 for England, though. Because that's where he's going to naturally show up.
Play both of them. Smith and Lazowski. Yeah. That's an exciting 10-12 combination.
And Slade, 13.
Yeah.
Oh, England are stacked.
Yeah, there's some options there, certainly.
Trinder, don't forget him.
So on the Exeter Quins game, Exeter didn't... This certainly wasn't a vintage Exeter performance. And as much of the credit for that goes to Quins, because they did defend manfully and they controlled the game and they played a lot of the game in the right areas.
And hold the phone. Quins' front row looked good in the scrummage.
Yeah.
What is going on? What kind of parallel weird universe have we entered where Exeter were losing scrum pens to Quins?
Well, particularly when Quins... You say when you've got Marler and Sinclair, who are Lions and international players, great. But when you've got
Lambert and Collier,
and you bring in a couple of young lads, Boyce
and Swainston.
Swainston, yeah.
Well, those two props you mentioned, I've never considered their scrummaging to be a problem. It's more their around the park contribution, which I worry about.
Well, they've been notoriously poor.
Yeah. I've always thought they were poor with their starters rather than their backups. So, you know, for the longest time, Sinclair was struggling because he was so young, and they just stuck with it, developed him, and now he's a Lion. So I'm not that concerned about the pushing power of the front row. More about everything else they do.
The other big story from the Avicii Premiership: Worcester chalking up their first win, a bonus point win at home to Northampton.
A resounding
victory. The first game back for Francois Houhard. What is there anyone else that has as much of an impact for their team than any one player does than Francois Houhard?
Maybe George Ford at Leicester, but they can actually go. They can actually not have George Ford and still win.
As it proved,
so no.
But well, and that, so you've got three players back three players playing now for Worcester who are real ball players in Houhard,
John O'Lance
and Ryan Mills.
Did Lance play? He played 10. Mills started 12. Nice.
And then a name I didn't recognise at 13, Wilkinson.
No, it's Jackson Willison, wasn't it?
Oh, Willison. It's just the BBC have spelt it wrong. There you go. I knew I shouldn't go on their bloody website.
But that means, so that combination. So Worcester now, I'm actually getting more and more positive about their survival chances.
Well, I always thought they were pretty good. I mean,
so...
Well, hold on, Jay.
I've always said that they've got good, powerful backs.
You've always said they've got good, powerful backs, and we all... Like, mate, you can't do this. You can't say one thing because people will remember what you said you say the total opposite. I've never had a worry about Worcester. I've always thought they're going to survive.
I never said that. I said I always thought that they were pretty good. And in the backs, they have always been pretty good.
Yeah.
The one thing that they've been missing all season, and this is fairly consistent, mate, is a fly half. And that is really it. I mean, their halfbacks are the problem. Everything else is pretty much in place.
Well, now... So they've got those halfbacks. They've got the exciting outside backs. Bryce Heem scoring a hat-trick.
Yep.
Josh Adams scored a great try, set up a great try. And Chris Pennell is solid as ever at fullback.
He makes a big difference.
Now they've got some ballers.
And so they've got the balls. And their pack are looking pretty good as well. They've got some a good, strong, like well-drilled type five. Now,
Van Velsen had about a year out, but he actually is an influential player for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Will Spencer as well is a good player. He's a very good player. So this may sound like we're kind of waxing lyrical about Worcester after they've just won one game.
Yeah.
But they're, I don't know, I kind of feel a lot more positive. I'm not, they're playing on that plastic pitch. And I think they'll be all right.
Yeah. And they did really well towards the end of last season. I mean, don't forget that. They beat Saracens at home.
You look at Northampton, Stephen Myler coming back in at 10.
Yeah.
And they played at a pedestrian pace, which I'm not attributing purely to him, but they have names in their team, but just people...
What happens at Northampton is beyond me.
How do they go from the little run they had at the start of the season where we were saying, wow, these could be top four,
yeah,
to getting pumped? Not just narrowly losing, getting pumped.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with you, Jay. I can't figure out what happens from one week to another.
Yeah.
And I've flipped in the past couple of seasons. I've flipped from Malinder has to go to
Malinder's a genius.
Yeah. This is magnificent. How is Malinder getting this out of these boys to Malinder has to go? And now I can't figure it out.
And Northampton, it's not like there's a shortage of cash.
Maybe it's the Dylan Hartley effect. Maybe Dylan Hartley not being there is having, maybe he really is that good.
I wonder if there is like a certain element about Northampton, which is they bring in too many players because they are always shopping. Money isn't really an issue.
But hold on, 2 weeks ago we were talking them up, or 3 weeks ago we were talking them up as, wow, they've really turned a corner. Look at that, they could have a great season. They could be top four contenders.
Yeah. So and they've turned another corner.
Yeah. they have.
And
they've done a U-turn.
Yeah.
And you've got to wonder, like, what is this down to? Why are they so up and down? And maybe that's the reason.
Mm. Elsewhere in the Avicii Premiership, Leicester Tigers left it late to come back, and Marlon Yard went from hero, scoring his first try on debut, to getting a yellow card and being a bit of a villain. They got a bonus point in losing, did Sale Sharks. Leicester Tigers got the full 5 points with a penalty try.
Yeah, and Steve Diamond's ban starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that, because that broke in the week. So
I was convinced on this. He was going to get 15 to 21 weeks.
Well, anyone who's missed any recent podcasts, you may be aware, but yeah, it's very closely connected to Egg Chasers, this one, for a number of reasons.
Yeah, both of you.
Because JB's tweet sparked it all off when he just put out a rumour that Marlon Yard was signing for Sale Sharks.
Yep.
And he made it clear in the tweet it was a rumour, but that led to one chain of events, which then meant that I interviewed Steve Diamond and he denied Marlon Yard. Then after the match, made some comments about a referee, which has since been... So the bottom line is, Steve Diamond's been banned and JB's been banned.
Yeah.
JB from Sale, Steve Diamond from Sale. You're both... You have that in common.
Yeah, so he was charged, right, with 5.12, under law 5.12, right? So the low end for this offence is 6 weeks. The mid end is 12 weeks. Top end is 18 weeks, with a maximum entry point of 52 weeks. Now, it's all complete guesswork, but leading up to this, there was a lot of influential people. Oh, hang on. What is that? There you go. A lot of influential people saying a lot of things, such as they're really going to go after Diamond. So with that, and he's already got 3 weeks suspended, I was thinking 15 weeks, maybe? 21 weeks.
Yeah, he has got a few incidents.
But there's something which is worth clarifying. Before he was on a touchline ban, this is different. So the reason it's slightly shorter than you'd expect is because it's a full stadium ban now. Whereas before, it was just a touchline ban.
Oh, wow.
Which coaches stay in the stand anyway most of the time.
Yeah, so he's not allowed any contact with them. Well, it's all written out on the... I think he'll be watching the game from the rugby dungeon with me.
Jose Mourinho once was banned and couldn't talk, I think he had a stadium ban as well at Chelsea for a Champions League match.
Yeah.
And they smuggled him in by into the changing room for half time. He went in one of those big trolleys that they put all the dirty towels
laundry in.
And he laid in the bottom of one of those. They put a load of laundry in on top. And then he went into the dressing room. Is so the story goes.
Yeah. It's a bizarre place that Sale find themselves in now.
Well, no, because the other thing about that with Steve Diamond, like you say, it's a stadium ban, which is a step up. And I think it's right to point that out. And also, they've said any more and you risk risk losing points.
Which is
that's a big statement.
Yeah, I don't think it'll stand up in court, but yeah, it's a huge statement. So on the face of it, it looks like he's got off really lightly. Actually, quite the opposite, because a full stadium ban is more severe. I actually think that 21 weeks away from the touchline would be more severe. This has led to rumours of Sale looking for someone else to replace Diamond on match day.
Ooh.
So there was talk of Lancaster.
Lancaster wouldn't go as a temporary measure. He's enjoying Leinster. He might go if he was
okay. So
running the team.
I thought the same thing as you, Tim. But as I understand it, one of the reasons I'm thinking of Lancaster is because he is going to leave Leinster anyway at the end of the season to take a full-time job somewhere else, probably or maybe Cardiff. Right, which sounds not quite right to me. But
No, who's gone to Cardiff?
Has that been announced now?
No, who's the coach that's gone to Cardiff?
Well, Wilson's left, but is there someone actually been announced?
I thought there was.
Well, if there is, this is from midweek, so it could be different. The other guy who they might bring in to help out would be Brian Redpath, but I think he's delighted to have left rugby. Quite frankly,
delighted to have left Sale and not have anything to do with them ever again.
Yeah, but he does have a lot to do with them. He's there every match day, and his son's in the academy.
Okay.
So you know there are all still links there. So it's interesting, and here's a really interesting thing. Okay. There are certain targets to be met by Sale if they want, if Steve Diamond wants to become an owner of the club. As I understand it, this is all in the open. It's all on an interview which I've done in the past. This requires them, I think, and I don't know for a fact, either finishing top six or top four. Well, this is probably why they're spending so much money on getting Van Rensburg in. But so far, for all of the increase in spending and all of the increase in talent, they've only won two games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cost them a lot of money to do so. And now their director of rugby, who they rely on more than any other club, is unavailable for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a kind of headline story. It is only on a short-term deal, but Johan Janzi von Rensburg.
No. Rohan Janzi von Rensburg.
Quadzilla, we'll just call him that. Beast of a man, and he's going to be coming to a Vichy Premiership stadium near you, even if Steve Diamond isn't for the short term.
Yeah. They've signed one of the finest young centres in the world, as far as I'm concerned. He's amazing. But it's not as if Saracens have signed him. So I'd understand Wasps or Saracens or somewhat, well, not Wasps this season, but Saracens or whoever it is, signing him to get them over that line.
Yeah.
But when you've won two games, why?
From Rohan's point of view, there's
a bit of cash.
A bit of experience. You can come and, you know, we'll show you around town, Rohan.
If he's on a three-year deal.
With Marlon Yard and Tiny Temper.
Yeah. If he's on a three-year deal, 100%. But whatever it is, like 6 months, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's the right thing for Sale to be doing.
I think it's only 3 months.
Is it even shorter than that?
I think it might just be until we get back to Super Rugby. But
yeah.
Anyway.
There you are. That's a bit of Sale chat for you.
So the other game, the other two games, ones we've not spoke, there was a routine win for Wasps at home to Newcastle.
Yeah, which actually isn't that routine, to be fair.
Well, yeah.
So they had... go on, sorry.
Well, I guess if you look at kind of what you would have expected last season, this would be a fairly routine home victory.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's not that simple. Newcastle aren't a bad team. Wasps have been very up and down this season. Probably the big talking point was Kyle Eastman coming back for 40 minutes, playing very well, scoring one try, setting up a couple, and generally looking good as the alternative playmaker outside Jimmy Gopper with Sippers being injured.
Such a lovely player.
Yeah.
He really is. Wasps are like a team who've just finally managed to get over a major trauma.
Yeah.
Danny Cipriani knocked them for six. And they've really got back on the horse now. I feel quite good about Wasps.
And if you look back to last season, at this time, after the Anglo-Welsh Cup period, we were saying exactly the same about Exeter Chiefs. Chiefs. We were saying exactly the same.
Yeah.
The Anglo-Welsh Cup fortnight, they sorted things out.
Yeah.
And they came back and went unbeaten for 15 games or something.
Yeah, I wonder if Wasps will be quite as resilient. I'm not sure they will. And they're not built in that way, are they? Like Exeter are so tough. But there's a huge improvement. It'll be interesting when Cipriani comes back. Who knows what combination do they go with?
Yeah, he's got Lover Bilavu. He's great as well.
Juan de Jong. Elliot Daly coming back in from England.
Does Daly go onto the wing? Oh, more Sale news.
Where's that bell?
Yeah. Denny Solomona allegedly off to Wasps or talking to Wasps.
Interesting.
Which would make a lot of sense when if you think about it.
From whose side?
Well, it makes a lot of sense that Denny would leave because he probably isn't on huge money by Premiership standards, but enormous money by Rugby League standards.
Yeah.
And also, with him being a risk coming over from Rugby League, maybe he's on a shorter-term deal than we think.
And also, with him just being the type of player he is, that's just Wasps, isn't it?
Money.
Oh, yeah. And Marcus Watson hasn't quite panned out how they wanted.
Yeah, he hasn't had inside of him what... like the playmakers that he would like, I guess.
No, this is true.
But I think once he gets his act together... Now,
Wade and Denny. Oh, that's pretty frightening. Although Josh Bassett's been great.
Yeah, he's got a brilliant try.
I think Wade has been linked away from Wasps, actually.
Really?
Yeah, as on Rugby Inside Line. So, have a check.
Mate. Again, that's that standard phrase, chuck enough mud at the wall, some of it sticks.
Well, no...
That is not a source I would quote.
I think I would. I mean, all I do is quote conversations that have happened. It's pretty reliable. I'm all right with it.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd use the word reliable, but yeah.
Right. Was there something else for you? But I can't remember what it was.
The other game was London Irish losing at home to a depleted Bath team. Mm-hmm. They did get a bonus point, but they would have wanted more out of this game. Definitely, this would be one to target when Bath are missing players.
Yeah, agreed.
Missing players through injury and missing players through internationals.
I thought man for man, London Irish were as good, if not better, in a lot of areas.
Which is worrying if they in these games when they're playing depleted teams at home London when they're Irish, pretty much full strength.
When London Irish West come to town and you're better. Can't beat a depleted side. Yeah, you got this.
Is it me or Bath just signing anyone with any kind of rugby background? I mean, young English James Wilson signed the other day.
Yeah,
and that's not a name I've heard for a little while.
Yeah,
when you're looking at lads they picked up last year, like Allinson and Aled Brew.
Yeah,
Scott Andrews, who for a long time got, let's put it this way, poor write ups in Wales. They just seem to be going after anyone they can get their hands on.
I'd say Bath might have the deepest squad, potentially, but there's a lot of players who stagnate or haven't kicked on or their potential hasn't materialised yet.
Who are you thinking of?
Guys like Nick Orterak.
Yep.
He was being talked about as an England loose head a couple of years ago.
Lahiff as well.
Max Lahiff. Henry Thomas. He's been injured a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys that people were talking about as internationals. Well, Henry Thomas is an international.
Henry Thomas could come back to Sale. I'd like that.
He's from Bath. He wasn't a Sale lad. Mike Brewer signed him as a kid from school.
Oh, nice. Mm. Good knowledge, Jackson. Bath are tricky. I don't think the Freddie Burns signing is a good one. I reckon they're going to end up around 7th.
Again, that's not what we were saying in the summer. We were saying, who's got the better deal? And I think Bath might have had the better deal, you know?
Yeah.
Because they get him all year round.
Yeah. And you know what? It's weird because we definitely did say that. But at the time, Rhys Priestland wasn't doing very much. Rhys Priestland had been hidden away in a cupboard somewhere, occasionally coming on at fullback. And George Ford was running the show. Well, it looks like they've turned over the entire ship to Rhys Priestland, then he's doing really well. So what you've got now is you've got a really expensive backup, because I'm pretty sure Freddie Burns made that deal work as well for him as anyone else.
I'm not sure how much longer he will be a backup. I think Burns, when he comes on, I mean, a few weeks ago he scored a brilliant like little chip and chase for himself. So I think it's interesting to have the competition between the two of them.
And
A fair fight, because before it just wasn't a fair fight, was it? It wasn't. Yeah. Rhys Preston never had a look in.
Particularly when Mike Ford was there. George Ford could have done
anything.
He could have done a Billy 12 Trees impression 80 minutes every single week and still would have been picked ahead of Priestland.
Very true.
The only way you can manage that, you know, George Ford, total number one, no one else has a look in, is you just sign someone not quite as good, or his brother. That would work.
Yeah, that would work.
That's working well for them, because, you know, Joe Ford has done well. He's quite happy.
It's a serious question. Is a Premiership team who have two number ones fly halves? There's always,
other than Bath.
There's always like a clear separation between who the one is and who the two is. And for me,
Sale probably. Well,
yeah, no, I think James O'Connor's.
He's their clear number one.
Nailed that now.
Yeah.
No, they're the only ones.
Well, I guess...
Wasps. Wasps, Harlequins.
I was going to say Quins.
Yeah, before Marcus Smith, no one really knew.
Yeah. You probably would
have... Catricalis was the total number one.
Yeah, you probably would have thought Catricalis was going to be, but Sweel's not a bad option. And then Marcus Smith has thrown a spanner in the works there, hasn't he?
Completely. Which is nice.
Saracens have got Lazowski and Farrell.
But that's a 1-2.
Yeah, that's a clear 1-2.
Yeah, everyone knows who...
But that's just a clear 1-2.
The 2 is better than most ones.
And also, the 2 might actually get more game time than the 1.
Yeah.
All in, because Farrell is rested a lot and Lazowski's so good.
Yeah, and also the difference those two have compared to the Bath pair is flexibility. If you're playing them both, you're probably hiding one of them at fullback. Whereas with Saracens, they can comfortably play either of those two anywhere, and they're so good at everything. Like you wouldn't really want to test your defence, would you, if you had Priestland at 10 and Burns at 12 or vice versa?
Do we know what the Northampton hierarchy is?
That's a good question.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought I did know at the start of the season. Now
Malander was the nailed on start of the season.
It was Malander, then Piers Francis, then Myler. But in this game, Malander played 15, Myler started, and Piers Francis was on the bench.
Yeah, so Piers Francis, I thought, was meant to come in as a second playmaker.
12.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought it was meant to be Piers Francis 10 and Harry Malander at 12.
12.
That's what I was thinking.
Piers Francis is a crazy gamble, because last time we saw him on these shores, he was up in Scotland.
In Edinburgh.
Not doing exactly that well.
Yeah.
It's only when he went to the Blues that he did okay, and it's a completely different style of rugby. So it's weird that you'd go for that sort of signing.
And
Gloucester there's not a clear A and B. So it's quite a lot, actually. We've come up with pretty much half the Premiership.
Yeah, Gloucester's a great one. Gloucester is a good one. Yeah.
And it's generally working for those teams where that is the case. It seems to be more, well, I don't know. We will see.
We'll see. Yeah, but weak correlation at best, I think, right now.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what you need is a strong, sturdy captain at 10 every time, like a Steenson. That to me is exactly what you need.
200 games for Steeno.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Did you see the bit in the Anglo-Welsh Cup? I quite understand if people... Oh, I think I mentioned it on last week's podcast, the really cool thing about the team names, the plaque. So presumably...
Yes, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
150 appearances or more, you get a gold. Your name in gold in the dressing room. So Steeno 200. That's another one up. Platinum.
Has he actually got platinum?
No, I don't know what it is. I think they just stick at gold over 150.
Diamond. Diamond encrusted.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
What's it called? The Swarovski...
Yeah.
The Swan People.
Yeah.
Or... Dmitry Zarzewski.
Yeah, Zarzewski crystals.
Zarzewski crystals, yeah.
Dmitry whatever. He should get into that business ASAP.
He really should.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Right, this weekend's games then.
Okay.
Because there was no Pro 14.
Nope.
There was some Top 14, three red cards within it. And I don't know, I haven't even seen the results, but
Toulon
lots
lost
of home.
At home.
I was going to say lots of home teams winning, but except for Toulon.
Toulon lost at home to Racing Metro. Racing 92.
Apparently about to sign Finn Russell.
Because Dan Carter might be leaving, but still wants to play rugby.
Yeah, he wants to go to... So Wasps are apparently in chats with a real big name fly half, and I assumed it would be Carter.
I assume he's just going to go to Japan and pick up a paycheck.
He is going to Japan, I'm sure of it.
Easy game for 2 years.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Mind you, can you have the same sort of crazy fun that you have in Paris?
I'm pretty sure you can do.
I'm amazed he doesn't want to be on big money in London. You know, the amount that he likes going out now.
Yeah.
You'd have thought like one stint in the Premiership. Mind you, it's a lot of hard work, the Premiership, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he would get battered.
Yeah.
He'd just get big, gnarly back rows. Probably like he does in France, but he... Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why he's going, right, I've had enough of that.
And he's
Japan, cash, and then he'll go and do boot camps in the park like Nick Cummins did in Manchester this weekend.
So, yeah, Nick Cummins was in Manchester, yeah?
He's going around the UK to a few cities doing boot camps in big public parks.
Right, this confuses me so much. So, Nick Cummins leaves Australia for the best of intentions to provide for his family.
Yeah.
He goes to Japan for... reasonably large money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can only assume, yes,
well,
it'd be pretty
have
big.
To be, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You're going to give up all your international money.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what he does. How much money do boot camps make? I mean, why is he not playing in France? If money is the key driver here, why is he not in France or in England or, you know, got one of the positions in an Irish province?
Oh,
somewhere?
He's playing the long game. He's going to be a media superstar in rugby, isn't
Mate,
he?
I'm not being funny, right? When I saw him, I sort of saw pictures like, has this guy retired? Because I've heard ever since he left the Wallabies, I've not seen him on TV since. I thought like he'd actually disappeared off the face of the earth. So there is actually a good reason to be a Wallaby for the long game. Boot camps aren't going to cut it. I don't know how profitable they are, but it's certainly not as profitable as scoring tries for the Wallabies in a World Cup final.
Anyway, go and check out the Badgers boot camp in a local park near you soon.
Yeah, bizarre.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, fixtures this weekend.
Okay. Have we got a Pro 12, Pro 14 schedule? 24th? Yes, there is.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, go.
Cheetahs host Edinburgh. Cheetahs. Ulster host Benetton. Ulster. Cardiff host Connacht.
Connacht, please.
Connacht, maybe.
Come on, fingers crossed.
Leinster host Dragons.
Leinster.
Ospreys, Glasgow. Probably Glasgow, but that should be more interesting.
Glasgow with no internationals.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Against Ospreys, who are awful. Come on, Glasgow.
Ospreys, who are awful and have no internationals.
Yeah.
But Southern Kings host Scarlets, which will be Scarlets. And Zebra host Munster, which...
Scarlets have got loads of Welsh players away.
They have got loads, but Southern Kings are not great.
Southern Kings are Southern Kings, though. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah.
This is true.
Sorry, who hosts?
Zebra hosts Munster.
Zebre.
Be nice for him to win.
Zebra.
I'm guessing Zebre.
They must have all their players. Munster lose a load of players. They shouldn't be playing games.
Zebre lose all their players as well.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be playing these games. It's a... JBU used to call it a hobby league.
Mm-hmm.
And these weekends...
It's a holiday league.
I'm going to say it's a holiday league. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to see these fixtures. I like the league. I can see the relevance. I can see how the South African thing is growing financially, and that I think that's good. but I'm not interested. I'm going to say it, I'm not interested.
But it is about incremental improvements, and that's why I'm not as harsh on the Pro 12, Pro 14 as I was. I thought South Africa was a ridiculous idea. Turns out it might be a master. It might be a master stroke.
I see that as well, and I've eaten humble pie on that one already. But I'm only saying these international weeks playing these games.
Yeah, you're right.
Not interested.
You're completely right.
Not interested.
But if Ulster smash Benetton on Friday night, I'll be happy.
Yep.
So
Avicii Premiership.
Yeah, and we've got a game of the week, which will be on the Sunday. So running through them in chronological order.
Yes.
Newcastle Friday night. Newcastle host Gloucester.
Well,
now this should be interesting.
Yeah,
I think Newcastle
have got to win at some point. You know.
Yeah.
They are probably the most disappointing team in the league at the moment. Everyone. There was so much fanfare about them at the start of the season, and actually, they started Mamaz and they started Flood, and they got battered by 30 odd points against Wasps.
Mamaz dropped out. So.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I think Harry stepped up. Anyway.
Well, whichever way, they've spent cash. You've got to win, though.
Yeah.
So for me, actually, this is almost a little bit of a must win for them. It's like a tipping point in the season, though, where results really matter.
Yeah.
I think they'll win.
I think Newcastle to win.
I'm going to say Gloucester.
Ooh, notoriously bad on the road, Gloucester. But they've just had such a good win, if they roll that on.
Yeah.
So then Saturday, we've got an early kickoff, 12:15, Bath hosting Quins.
Odd time.
Is there going to be...
Internationals, like, presumably.
Yeah, of course.
Is it going to be some sort of double header on BT? Can we watch them both? Are you working this weekend, Tim?
No, there's only two games on BT Sport. I think one on... It's Saracens Exeter on Sunday, and it's...
Newcastle-Gloucester Friday, presumably.
Newcastle-Gloucester?
Late Sale versus Northampton on Saturday, maybe?
No. I think it is Newcastle-Gloucester, but... And Saracens Exeter. Me and Phil are going Newcastle. I don't think by a lot, but I do think they'll win. And Newcastle lose... both these teams are two teams who lose, assuming Chris Harris stays with Newcastle and not with his adopted Scotland. No, his team Scotland. Didn't mean that to sound like a slight. they lose no one. They lose no players. Do they? None. Whatsoever.
Newcastle.
Or Gloucester.
So Newcastle will lose Takalua.
Takalua, yeah.
Tonga.
And Owen Williams.
And Owen Williams from
Nilly Larty?
Gloucester. Possibly, yeah. So not many.
No, Saturday then.
So Saturday, Bath versus Quins.
Bath at home.
Yeah.
It's just Quins on the road.
Yeah.
Although they did show a bit of steel.
But in a very Quinsy way that they showed some steel and got zero out of the game.
Yeah, whilst throwing it away.
They got nothing out of it, so give me Bath. Although I don't think it'd be pretty.
I think, yeah, Bath are quite gritty now. They've kind of, Harlequins.
Ooh. Then Leicester host Worcester.
Yes.
And, I mean, that Leicester team.
The one that played week just gone was a bad team. It was actually a bad team.
You look at that and there's a lot of players missing.
I mean, this is why it was such a devastating loss for Sale, in my opinion. Because any aspirations over the top six or top four, they have to be beating teams like that. Man for man, that Leicester team is outright poor. And they turned over Leicester. I wouldn't be surprised to see a very close game if that Leicester team looks roughly the same as what it did.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Leicester should still win because they've got the advantage of being at home, the crowd behind them, and they've got some experienced players. But if Worcester play like they did weekend just gone... It'll be close.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Leicester, I think they'll win.
Then
Saturday evening,
5:30, Sale host Northampton, which, based on how Northampton have played their last game...
Wait, Dimes will be sat where you're sat, Phil.
He will be. I think Sale can win this. Get their third win of the season.
Yeah, they'll win.
Performances have been all right, actually. Like, the extra performance was pretty good.
How many players did Sale lose? Byron McGuigan?
Yeah, that's about it, I think.
But they've just signed Marlon Yard.
Yeah.
He's
McGuigan out, Denny and Yard in.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Not too bad.
And they've got a centre. Rohan might make his debut.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting. What they need is a second row and a prop, but there you go.
Yeah.
On their way, apparently.
Sail to win.
Sail to win. Then London Irish host Wasps, and I think this will be a tidy win for Wasps.
Yes, agreed.
I think Wasps will win, but not by a big
amount.
Can we
just, for a second, turn our attention to the try scored by Josh Bassett and what a thing of beauty it was.
It was.
It was gorgeous.
A very good finish.
Delightful.
The inside-outside run.
It's so nice.
And then the gas.
I don't particularly like him as a player, but when he's at full speed, he's incredibly graceful.
He's been so good for them, so dependable.
Yeah. They
signed him from Bedford.
Yeah, he's quite flashy, isn't he? And
yeah.
And like, his name would stand out as not standing out in a backline of stars. Yeah. He's done pretty well.
Yeah.
And then our Leo Vegas... Oh, sorry. Oh, so we go for Wasps. Our Leo Vegas game of the week.
Hang on. Shall I play some tunes?
Yeah, go on. Thanks to Leo Vegas, you can get... if you ignore our... predictions and go with your own gut feeling, maybe even do the opposite, and then you could get some money. But the guys at leovegas.com, which is where you need to go to get loads of rugby bets, they love their rugby, they sponsor Leicester Tigers, they sponsor us, they know what they're talking about, they know what they're doing. So yeah, get involved, leovegas.com. Our game of the week is...
it's 1v2.
Yeah.
It's the last 2 years champions playing each other. It's at Allianz Stadium.
Ooh.
And it's Saracens hosting Exeter.
Exeter for me. Exeter at Allianz will win by 7.
Now, Exeter lose fewer players.
Yep.
So they lose Thomas Francis.
So they gain in some ways.
At me.
They lose their third choice tight head.
They are losing Jack Noel, but only because he's out injured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slade?
Yeah, and Slade.
Unless Slade's released again.
No, he'll play against Samoa.
Yeah, I would have thought Slade will play. But they've got...
Devoto, Hill.
Devoto and Witten.
Witten.
Yeah, so they're doing all right in the centre department, even without Slade.
Simmons as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course, Simmons. Who hopefully will get some more game time.
Yeah.
Whereas Saracens are losing... Mako, George, possibly Cruis, Itoji, Billy's obviously injured.
Yep.
They're losing Farrell. They might be losing Lazowski.
It's a big ask, isn't it?
They're losing Liam Williams. So, yeah, it is a big ask for Saracens. But Saracens are at home, and they still have international quality and experience right across the park.
Yeah. So you used to look at Saracens and think, these are exactly the sort of games that they're going to grind out and win. And now I look at Exeter and I think, this is exactly the sort of game that Exeter can grind out and win.
Yeah.
I see this going very similar to the way that they went about dispatching, Montpellier.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it in that sort of fashion. They can do it, and I think they'll do it by five points. And that feels weird because I think... Saracens are an amazing outfit and an incredible setup, but X will be too strong.
I think you might be right.
I'm just thinking of the teams, and yes.
Although Saracens, well, they're both the epitome of more than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help us either way.
I suspect there's not.
I was about to ask a question. Would Exeter have thrown that game at King's home? Well, yeah,
they did earlier in the season.
That doesn't help.
Well, no, again.
If I was Eddie Jones, I would be wanting Alex Lazowski to get some game time.
Hmm.
Which would mean they are without both of their tens.
Put Goody.
So, yeah. Do you know what? Even without seeing the teams.
Yeah.
I think Exeter are going to sneak it.
Give me Exeter.
Exeter.
Exeter by 3 points.
Wow. Look at that. Exeter by 5, I think.
And again, and to be fair to people who are Pro 14 fans and just heard me talk about a holiday league, it is a shame that we're seeing Saracens versus Exeter and we're not seeing Saracens versus Exeter.
No, we're not. But it's close enough. I'll take it.
It's certainly a lot closer than...
Glasgow versus Ospreys.
Glasgow versus Ospreys. Yeah,
so have we got this week of Premiership fixtures, a week after... And then is it a week after that?
No, it's 2 weeks of Europe coming up soon.
Yeah, but don't some international teams have four games to get through?
So we also have Premiership. So it's two more weeks of Premiership.
Yes.
Then it goes straight into 2 weeks of European.
I wish I was going to watch some European games.
Oh, we are.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we are. We're off to Belfast, followed by Dublin the next day. How do you like those apples?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we thought while we were over there, we might as well travel down to see the Chiefs take on Leinster.
Oh, what games am I working any of those? Oh, you're going to have loads of fun. Mind you, I'll send you a postcard from Monaco, Phil.
Exactly. Hey, Phil, what are you going to do with your week off next week?
Good question. When are you boys going to be back to record some podcasts?
We're going
to
do it out there, on with him.
We'll do some out there, but we'll do one when we get back.
We'll sort something out. We won't be back till Monday.
I can tell you everything you've missed.
Monday night.
I'm not missing anything, mate.
let's do Monday night.
Monday night.
So we'll do Monday night with you, and then me and JB will do one on the harbour in Monaco.
Yeah.
That's all. It's tough.
At the casino. Should we do it at the casino or at the harbour?
Do you know what?
I'm not sure.
It's going to be a great setup for a Rugby Dungeon interview somewhere. I'm sure I can get on a boat. I'm sure someone will get me a bill.
I was looking at Airbnb places, and one of the places I considered was basically a guy hires out. You just stay in his boat on the harbour.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. World Rugby Awards. Yeah, we'll have some stuff from there next week. But that is your Bet of the Week. That's our bets. In LeoVegas.com, Cornerstone, go get yourself a razor. Use the code EGG10 at checkout. And keep listening, subscribe, tell your mates. Nice one.
Thank you very much. And if there's enough interest, I might even put my Christmas Carol onto iTunes.
Oh, yeah, play us out.
Let's go.
It's the most rugbyest time of the year. Discussions, concussions, collusion with Russians, Johnny May's fixed career. It's the most rugbyest time of the year. It's the most professional season we've had. Props getting lean, mince pie flavoured protein, we are catching the ball. It's the most professional season of all. Passes be fizzing, back lines they be sizzling, and fly halves be playing gung-ho. Men stood drunk at the bar, self and stuck in the car, Alison Pollock shouting, oh no, my ball! It's the most rugbyest time of the year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.